So I'm the presenter of this abstract. However, there was a rather large group. I have no financial interest to disclose, but there are a number of other folks that were involved, and I think many of you in the audience were directly related to this particular abstract. Claire Johnson, Bart Green, Lori Bird, Kim Kov, Dana Madigan, Mitch Haas, John Hyland, and Michael Haline. I want to thank them because this was a rather large undertaking and I just get the opportunity to speak with you about it. So there are a number of affiliations here so we have to express that this article are not the views of the Department of the Navy, Department of Defense, Department of Veteran Affairs, or the United States government. They're pretty much people we named, that's our opinion. So our objectives, we want to discuss the public health priorities identified by the American Public Health Association, chiropractic healthcare section in the process of effective planning. And so the idea here is that we have a lot of things that we do. We want to do things in the future, but do we have a tool to use to be effective in the planning? And so a model was developed, I'm here to review that process. And this model can be used to recommend additional things for the future and may be used by other sections as an example of how to do planning for their sections. So how did this whole thing get started? Well, I opened my big mouth and I said, what is chiropractic public health care? Claire Johnson said, well, we should probably spend some more time on that. And there was a lot of discussion. The business meeting had quite a bit of a back and forth, and essentially some of the things that we hit upon was that we do lots of activities, but is there a way that we can define what is done in a more useful way that can we encapsulate that in a single page? So it's something that can be looked at very quickly and made useful. And so there was a subcommittee that was formed, of course. Thankfully, Dr. Johnson organized the process and facilitated the discussion because there was a lot involved and it took a long time to get this to coalesce. And her leadership, kind of created some deadlines and encouraged us to participate and really kept the process moving forward. A lot of initiatives in big groups and subcommittees, they kind of get bogged down, and Dr. Johnson was right on the spot to keep us moving forward. So one of the things that happened first was that we considered, well, what were we trying to accomplish? What were the end goals? And so we wanted a deliverable product. This wasn't just an exercise to have amongst our group. And then there would be some value in generating a scientific paper, an article that could describe this process, and that might add additional value. And we also wanted to make sure that we got a lot of input from our stakeholders. And so it wasn't just our subcommittee, but we did seek input from throughout the section. So this is the paper that we're trying to finish off with. This is the abstract from this paper. Describes the process that we use to develop the model. The idea here is we're trying to clarify for the section who we help, what we do, and what our public health priorities are. So the methods. I'll get a little bit reedy here because I think it's important to be clear. So the section created a conceptual model to educate the public and the public health community. What we do was the priority as a section, and our overall priorities and actions were to be highlighted and how it relates to public health and chiropractic. So the contents were developed by an IRB-exempted modified Delphi process. And so As part of the public health agenda for the APHA, this two-stage Delphi process resulted in ranking public health topics, and the members had identified these topics as important, and ways that the chiropractic health care section could have a positive influence. So the phase one and two data were reported at a previous annual meeting, and the model was developed in this third stage of the Delphi process. And so the document was reviewed by the members first, and then within members of the chiropractic community, our stakeholders, and we incorporated feedback. So the final model was reviewed and voted upon by the section council, and after approval, it was submitted to APHA, and they have final say, and they reviewed and approved the model. So the Delphi process allowed this project to reflect the desires really drill down to what was really wanted by the members, and ensure that when we had collaborated with the APHA staff, that it was in alignment with the vision, mission, and planning efforts by APHA, the large group. So, what did we come up with? Well, three interactive tiers, people and population, action, and then the public health priorities. And some of the specific things that we identified as the populations that we serve, youth, workers, military, athletes, adults, special populations, and seniors. The actions that we looked at were education, promotion, and advocacy. And there were a range of health priorities, but prevention, reduction of diseases, and promotion of healthy living were all viewed as priorities. So there's a little chart here, and you can see our people, action, and priority can be seen along the top there. And this is just an example of three different groups that we could apply this model to. We determined one particular project could be to educate seniors on the risks of injury or fall. The second one here with children, increasing physical activity, and underserved, we can be an advocate for access to preventative care for underserved populations. So by starting with the model and filling in the appropriate blanks, we can really streamline what we want to do. So the model was distributed to members through the email, and also was sent out to the chiropractic doctoral programs during the ACC RAC. And the information has also been included in an infographic brochure for members. And we have a copy of that, if you would, Dana. We'll pass that around. So we wanted to apply this model in the creation of this particular brochure. The central idea that we had that occurred during our discussions during the business meeting is that we serve groups of people and populations through our actions by focusing on public health priorities of the CHC. And as you can see, we've got, it's a little small there, you can see it on the handout, but these were some of the populations that I brought up earlier, and there's kind of a continuum from infants to elderly. We identified these populations as stated, youth, work and play, adults, special populations, and seniors, and then there's some subcategories under that. Then we created the actions, who we serve, we established, but how are we going to do it and in what context? And so education, promotion, and advocacy were these actions. Okay. We also examined our public health priorities of this section. the prevention and reduction of disease. You can see along the bottom there's a kind of a disease spectrum here. And so sometimes as chiropractors involved with one-on-one care, we spend a lot of time on the disease side, but we forget that there's this component, the responsibility that we have of promoting health as well. And so our public health priorities included the prevention and reduction of chronic diseases, back and neck pain, natural, osteoarthritis, porosis, cardiovascular disease, etc. And so the promotion there, of course, is to improve for optimal function, healthy mind and body. And this is the finished product. This is what you have in your hand right now. And so we put that together. I was a firm advocate for color and pictures, and as you can see, it does allow a person to relatively quickly identify what we're trying to speak to. So provides structure, allows us to communicate and promote public health, allows us to prioritize what we want to do in our communications and our research projects, and allows us to look at examples of projects resulting from this model. So we did have new section communication materials, and there are several papers that are being generated utilizing this model. Okay, so essentially we were able to come to a consensus. Hard to believe, but we were, and so hopefully we can focus our limited resources in a real meaningful way. Thank you.
Okay. Let's have all of our speakers come back up and answer any questions the group may have. And I think we can probably do with just speaking up, if you will, but if we find that we can't hear you, I'll bring this around. I guess you guys will need one, too. Well, you're going to have to speak up, too.
Okay.
Any questions for the panel, please?
I get this in quotes or more by Sarah. What was the inducement, I mean, other than ordering students to be involved? Because you do something to get more, because that isn't always an issue.
We did. Our students got community service hour credit. In order to be able to meet certain criteria with training first, and then the number of patients that they saw in order for them to receive the credit for that.
I try to motivate them, get them excited about doing it, and get them to see where chiropractic fits in with the unique population that we work with. They did also receive credit for the patients that they saw, but if there would be some greater incentive that anybody has, I'm sure we would be very interested in hearing ideas.
Other than paying them.
Other than paying them, yes.
And there was a lot of time that we didn't know what the
I think it's timing. When we started the program, we decided that we had three different terms of clinical students. Eighth trimester is when they're just getting their feet on the ground rolling with outpatient. Ninth trimester, many of them are jamming in to get their credits to leave and go on preceptor. And 10th trimester, well, the ones that don't go on preceptor are still there. So we were focusing on ninth trimester students so that they would be more ready to evaluate and care for the patients. However, they were just getting busy in clinic and again, trying to get all their credits going. So found a little bit more interest with the early eighth trimester students. Of course, those might be fearful to go into that scenario as well. So I feel really that the early motivated eighth trimester students, particularly those that are going into VA and been the most the most satisfied. And the 10th trimester students who didn't have a preceptorship leaving campus were also more satisfied. So that's my anecdotal response to that, is that timing was tough.
If a student, chiropractic student, and in fact all of us who are chiropractors, would be eligible to take the certification, I call the health exam, since we've had 30 or more hours in public health courses. I didn't know if our courses within the health degree program would enable us to take that exam, since we're all in public college.
The requirement with them requires a patient to obtain a master's degree or PhD in public health, is one option, and take the exam. The other option is to be a student enrolled in a program, either a master or PhD. The third possibility is for a healthcare provider to obtain 15 credit hours in a period of program and take the exam. And they have also an open option for people who work for non-profit organizations and obtain a certificate from the organization that they have been on the ground doing public health work for 15 years, 15 hours and 16 minutes. So we make it diversified enough to allow more people to go there. They are up to be credential. For our students, yes, we can set the exam as students if they finish the 15 credit hours in one of the online programs offered in the military program. And that is offered in some universities in the United States. And that was one suggestion for us as chiropractic colleges. If we can get accredited, it would be a big loss. If we cannot get, because like we have to have full fledged programs and public health, we can affiliate with the current university where we can join efforts, teach the online, and get the certification under their accreditation, specifically again. It does not count because it's not provided in one of the accredited programs by the Board of Chiropractic, Board of Public Health. Yeah. It has to be accredited program by the board.
I think there was there a question over here before? Okay, yes. Oh, we'll get you.
And also wanted to ask one other question. Do you know what barriers there may have been? The document that was produced in 2002 and its adoption of chiropractic colleges?
My review of that document contained very, very prestigious faculty that participated in all the experts in the field. And they also took, I think, between where the idea was initiated in 1999 as a concept, and then matured over 2.5 years with publication papers released in 2002, and was distributed to all chiropractic universities and colleges. And I don't know, my personal experience, my personal take on it is usually colleges try to teach and cater to public health needs in the exam provided by the National Board. The National Board used to have public health as a separate exam on Part 1, and then split it down to exams, Part and Part 1, with the microbiology, Part and Part 2. And that just dissociated the set the character, you might say. So very, very few courses took the title public health and being teach public health outside epidemiology. Most of them highlight epidemiology, and the other ones are blended in other courses. You have to extract them out of our bar for description, which I couldn't obtain because they didn't submit the college of
Mitch, did you have a question?
I'm just wondering why not just go all the way and get an approved MPH program at the university?
That is my view. I second that. Why not? You told me, I'm always in FEMA, I'm always going to be in public health. But I work in non-profit, I work in public health, for almost all my years in public health. I'm supposed to get certified in public health. So, for you guys who have a master and a PhD. And we don't have a directory that tells out who is holding these agreements, and in that case, my understanding, other than the membership list, or also for the chapter here. And these experts should be identified as consultants or scholars who come up with issues. And also consultants to anything that goes into that. You know, I mean, why we should think among ourselves with a spirit idea without having an expert backing up the spirit idea. I mean, if you work like a group, that pushes forward. And I'm 100% okay with keeping that.
For 15 hours,
spread out. Yeah, it's spread out. It's still not exactly the 5-4 area that we should be covered. And these are the ones I tried to match.
Okay, so the question that I have is, people who are just reaching the minimum 15 credits necessary to take the exam, do they have a limited pass rate that the people who have?
As a matter of fact, the board does not, and the exam itself does not have a score. It has a pass fail.
What does that mean?
And then the pass fail specifies the grade of where the person obtained the success result, and then the entity that they look the person for employment, they look at the score. But there's no kind of score for pass fail, I think, like it's very minimal, so like maybe 400 or something like that. So it's not that hard to pass the exam. But the 15 hours are divided in 5-4 areas, minimum 3 hours per one to cover.
That's
why what we have does not match what we need.
Michael, you have a question in the back row there.
Just a follow up. I have to, one for Barbara, follow up on Mitch's question. I guess, why would we develop a chiropractor, an MBA program in chiropractic college, when ultimately there's so many that out there already that we can develop an articulation agreement that are seen as having earned into a degree? So, just to follow up, I completely agree with you that MBH is vital. But then again, we have to show significance to our students and the importance of having an MPH combined with the DC, because a lot of them don't see the value in public health alone. But my question is for Barbara. Barbara, based on the work of Gordon Dodge and cognitive science, the work of Schoen in regards to reflection on action and reflection in action, did you use any specific tools in the clinical setting like SNAPS or one-minute preceptor, which really assesses cognitive learning in that clinical environment?
No, we're really just beginning the program, so we haven't really looked into anything in depth like that. We were just trying to get the basic framework and getting people through there. But I'd be really interested to talk with you later about those things.
Yeah, those are excellent tools to help develop that reflective piece from a cognitive standpoint for our students, because I think that's what's one of the biggest things that we miss, especially when they're shadowing other health providers, and those providers are highly familiar with those models, so therefore they can use those tools to extract that learning process, that clinical development of cognitive learning with our students, and I think that's the big part of the puzzle that we miss. With part of our education. So, and the work we've shown is very beneficial. Reflection on action, reflection in action is something we can talk after.
Sounds great, thank you.
Matt, did you have something to add?
Okay, I mean, maybe I'd like to clarify a point in reference to your comment. I think Mitch is looking for something which is very good for us, but I mean, what we can provide under the umbrella of chiropractic curricula is 15 accredited hours. And that will not be obtained unless we have a master or PhD provided in chiropractic facility itself. So I know that some chiropractic colleges are reaching out to universities nearby. They're offering now opportunities for students to attend for master of public health, that is a big plus. But think of the number of the chiropractic students that would be willing to take 15 elective online hours and get certified in public health. And that will be wonderful for the membership and the section here. It will be wonderful for people out there talking with authorities comes into issues with holistic chiropractic. The PhD holder, semester holder, the experts in the field, and also will be the core that makes up the faculty that teaches those courses in the college. I mean, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, you know, but I don't know if all colleges will allocate public health course to a public health master holder or PhD. And that's an important issue here. It's not like filling the hour, it's also confidence and presented in a way that the person really for the individual.
I kind of wanted to say something like that also. I just kind of felt that there's always this push towards the highest level of expertise. But I think we also have to think about what's minimum competency that we want in our providers, and that the providers, especially the ones that provide health, wellness care, should be have some kind of public health education. And just scattering it in courses may not be enough, but that's proven by the responses that are going on out there. And especially the initial healthcare provider, the portal entry provider. And so I think this is a pretty good idea in terms of getting the minimum competency. The experts are needed, obviously, to oversee all that and to create programs. But I think the average practitioner needs to build up.
Currently, there is no licensure demand for somebody to practice public health in this case. And the CPH is supposed to identify who's current, who's up to date. It's not like minimum standard, it's supposed to be like up to date standard. So it's a big loss for anybody in healthcare to hold this credential. I mean, that just certifies that person is up to date and current and does not make distinction between the previous training that they hold. It could be PhD, it could be master, it could be somebody from the field, it could be a dentist, it could be a chiropractor. So, I mean, that equal footage when we negotiate with other chapters in Texas. So if you have CPH and you have CPH, you know that you can't with the issues, and that just creates an open dialogue.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, my name is
That's a really good question. We had the trainees happen during the hour that they usually have other interning lectures, and so it's not during their clinic time. I mean, it's during the clinic time, but not when they see patients. And so they usually have lectures during this time. Different people come in and speak, and that's when we did our training. So we had two trainings per semester for all of the group, and then each individual student had to go through HIPAA training as well as human subjects protection training. So we wanted them to go through that to make sure that they understood research and research-related issues. And then we also had them go through more personalized training individually, where they had to observe the baseline exam done by someone else three times and observe the randomization and the fitting of the orthotic two times. And you know, so they had different levels that, and we would check them off as they went based on their intern number. And once they completed all of that training, then they could finally see their own patients. So, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I know we had sent out almost 150 surveys, but that was with the students advancing. So we surveyed the same students as they advanced through. Unfortunately, we didn't ask in the survey, have you taken the survey before? And we didn't have any personal characteristics, so we don't know, you know, if people took it at the same time. I don't know the actual class size, but I have to guess about 50 in 8th, 9th, and 10th together, because we did it three times and there were almost 150 total survey monkeys that went out. So.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank Dr. Rodgers for sparking a really one of the most important conversations we can have here, because to Michael's point, you know, the profession doesn't really understand the importance about public health and the necessity for us to really turn the market on for expertise in the area. I was frustrated by your presentation, credentialing, the standards that are on our practice curriculum, and creating some sort of a cloud. section. I think definitely should be discussing with John and proposing the other maybe to our agenda evening if you have some time to do that. Thank you.
Any other questions or thoughts? Yes.
That you come up a couple of times, the model curriculum. Dr. Alucard, do you know, is there a digital reading available somewhere? Do you have it? Or
yes,
do you
have it? I have it on my computer. It's downloadable, it's online. That's how I found it.
It's available. And it's available where?
University of
Pennsylvania. Okay, so because I've been talking to a few people about that and searching my own records, I think I'm sure at one time I had it, but I, you know, it was many different computer hard drives ago. So you finding what the...
Matter of fact, it's a beautiful document with very thorough and very detailed. It was, I mean, like, you know, more working aspect.
Bart, would you say that again? Where did you say that was from?
I was going to the University of Washington.
University of Washington. Okay.
And Claire just pointed out to me that it was in our recent newsletter that's available here, and she showed me that obviously I had missed it. And it's part of our review of our 20th anniversary history. And it does have the URL at one part of the phone. So thanks everyone for that.
Is there a way that they can get this document?
If you need one of those documents, you just, Claire has a stack of them. One thing I just want to say, if there's no other questions, not that this isn't a question, but I'm just wondering from a Michael and your group, how does this get disseminated to the universities so that they can do some plugging?
Well, it was funneled through the communication section, and I think that the idea was that it was going to be applied to the website and incorporated into the website, so that would be the most natural and available form. Certainly, communicating with me or any of the authors, I think we probably can get you to the right spot. But the idea is that it'll be moved forward and maintained and kind of developed as we grow as a section.
Okay, great. Anything else? I think we have a little more time, but if we're done, Claire, did you have something you need to add or want to add?
Somebody brought that up somewhere, and I haven't put it on my list, but, you know, it's definitely something that we could look into, particularly on strictly observation.
And I know some first-year students that may be able to give some insight there that are actually in our audience. So
we bring students in as research assistants as well as third semester or trimester, and so we train them as research assistants at that level. In order for them to do the tasks that we have these interns doing, they would have to be an HRI in order to do a baseline exam, a low back exam, and sit in an audit. So we wouldn't be able to pull in the lower trimesters in this setting the way that we had it structured. But we did have students in lower tries as research assistants on the summer.
That it? All righty. Well, thank you, folks. I think our next section.